Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who love to share our fascination with astrology with you, and we're fascinated by how astrology affects our everyday life, that we can use it to walk through the day, walk through our lives more comfortably, more successfully, and use it to work with our time instead of fight it. I am Heather Owen Robbins, and I'm speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, and I am joined by my two dear friends from New York, Mark.
Mark Wolves, on the island of Manhattan, over by the Hudson River in New York City, and over on the Upper East Side.
Ann Ortley at my bright red desk, sitting here petting the cat. On the Isle of Manhattan, yes.
Yeah. It's not a red cat, is it?
No, it's a black and white cat, but he goes really nicely with the red desk.
Good.
Mm-hmm. He blends in. It's like kind of black and white. What's black and white and red all over? The newspaper.
Yeah, there you go.
And my cat, you know.
Yeah,
or what's black and white and sitting on the red, I guess, would be the...
Or, you know, what's red and furry all over? Your desk.
Yeah.
it's
the time of bad jokes.
Okay, yes. Well, that must mean we're heading into Aquarius.
Yes.
But at the moment, we have the Sun in Capricorn, Mercury conjunct Pluto in Capricorn. So that Mercury conjunct Pluto in Capricorn, it was exact last Friday, as so was Venus conjunct Neptune exact last Friday. And I found it's taken people on quite an emotional dive, a swim into that inner world this week. The Capricorn lineup is very practical, but the other planets are taking us diving into feeling and emotion. And I got to spend the day on Saturday studying runes with a rune master, and that was a wonderful thing to do, practical and solid on the Capricornian side, but deep and very Neptunian with that Venus-Neptune conjunction. But that Mercury-Pluto, you know, we saw that the Sun conjunct Pluto at the end of December,
mm-hmm.
and on Friday, Mercury conjunct Pluto, and so it felt like we were being asked to look at our resolutions that we made at the beginning of the year. And Mercury was saying, okay, now what are you doing about those? And what are you doing about what you said you were going to do? What are you doing about making this year different than last year? Mars will continue to ask us that. You know, Mars is in Virgo for many weeks already and all the way through June retrograde. It's about to go stationary on Monday. A week from today, and then it's going to retrograde way back and then go way forward, going back and forth in Virgo, asking us, well, are you going to make this year better than last year? What are you going to do to make the world better, your life better, improve the situation? Don't just sit there and complain. Make it better. But that Mercury-Pluto conjunction is it. I've noticed that Martin Luther King Day has really brought our thoughts the last couple of years as the Pluto's reaching Capricorn, but this week with Mercury conjunct Pluto, remembering he who has left and the effect that he's had on our world today on Martin Luther King Day, and saying goodbye to many people. I've noticed that just kind of that haunting quality of Pluto. Have you felt that, Mark?
Yeah, I think actually... The day felt a lot more like a holiday this year in New York than it has some years. Mm-hmm. It just had that feel to it. I feel like people were really taking the time to assess the sense of power and the power that came about through the movement for freedom. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of stillness when you tap into that kind of power. Because it has to come from deep within, and you only get to it by being quiet and feeling it. I had that. Did you feel that in the city?
I've just been getting lots of hard news. Mercury Pluto, a lot of endings and a lot of people passing or leaving or transitioning. You know, kind of saying I'm going off friend of mine had her hip replaced. I have another friend having her gallbladder taken out. You know, it's kind of like one of those, wow, you know, we're parting with things we don't need anymore, or we're leaving behind things. And earlier today I got an email from one of my clients. Her son has announced he's leaving home and going off into the world. And, you know, and she's kind of stressed about it. I think it's a, you know, we're all getting ready for the new dream. And Mercury-Pluto has a, you know, Mercury goes down to the underworld. He's the only guy that can. So, and return unscathed. I mean, we all go to the underworld eventually. But he goes down and comes back and forth. And so we're all really working on very deep levels, you know, internally on our own issues around shame and endings and feelings about what we can do or what we can't do, you know, the things we can affect, the things we can't affect. And I just, it just feels very somber, you know, it's a somber time to me. And plus I've been, I got Adele's CD for, you know, her performance at Royal Albert Hall. And I've been watching that and crying. That's been my, that's how I've been handling it, which is really actually very good. Because she writes these sad, she writes her, or apparently her second album was her breakup album. So it's all these love songs about endings. So I've been just sitting here kind of reviewing my romantic life. Of course, it's Saturn in Libra. And crying, which is good, you know, not in a bad way, but just kind of remembering the different loves, not even just necessarily romantic, but the people that you loved. Because Saturn is stationing at the point, and he's there at the degree now already, that the conjunction happened in 82. So we're resolving a lot of that stuff. And then Neptune, of course, is soon to go into Pisces, which starts a new dream. So we're also releasing a 14-year dream when he went into Aquarius in 87 or in 97. So it feels very big to me. It just feels very, and of course it's winter and it's dark and it's cold. We finally got cold here in New York. It was 20-something. So it just definitely feels very, moments of choice is the way I'm kind of framing it. It's like a moment of choice that we're picking now. And the universe is saying, it's time for you to choose. What do you want? And we're like, can I wait a little longer on that? I don't know yet. Well, I know I don't want this. Okay, that's gone. Oh, really? You know, my assistant's engaged in moving, so we picked her departure date, you know. So I was like, that's what I did Saturday night.
Yeah.
Scheduled, we picked the wedding date and we picked the departure to move to California date, you know. So.
But that's hard, and that's a new beginning for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So endings and beginnings, you know, they kind of go together.
Moon in Scorpio today and tomorrow, we're definitely feeling that. Today.
Yes.
Scorpio was trining Venus. There's a quietness to that, you know, deep feelings, deep rivers run quiet. Mm-hmm. Quiet rivers run deep. You can really feel
still waters run deep.
Still waters, quiet river. They're still quiet, same thing.
We're with you.
Yeah.
River.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Underwater, subterranean. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bubbling away.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Mars turning stationary?
Well, it's on my stuff, so I've been having. I had decided I was going to use it as an organizational and a health thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined a gym, and I went and registered, and they have a pool, and I've been swimming, which is a little weird. Yeah, well, it's on my...
That is,
yeah.
So that's, and how would you describe that good use of Mars to our audience?
Well, the good use of Mars is to say, okay, Mars in Virgo is a health aspect or a habit. Habit's a better way to say it. So Virgo is about habits, so it's where we habitually do things, where we have a routine about us. So while Mars is in Virgo for the last few months and also until July, it's a great opportunity for us to address the habitual part of our life and say time for new habits. So I started before Mars went retrograde, and I intend to continue while it is retrograde and when it goes direct even more so. And, you know, it's just kind of, it's a great time for any kind of habitual renovation, meaning, you know, diets, exercise programs, even just, you know, changing your habitual thoughts, you know, working on, you know, if you tend to yell at yourself a lot, it's a good time to kind of release that critical energy. Because Mars and Virgo can be a little critical and be a little thin-skinned and a little mean. So he's organizational when he's working high. He's process. He's coming up with new habits. He's breaking old habits. So it's like, okay, you know, I need to exercise more and I need to eat a little healthier and lose some weight. So we're going to, how I'm using my Mars in Virgo. And when I have clients, you know, a lot of times it's also people being sensitive to criticism. You know, there's this sense of, I don't want to be criticized anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go do what I want to do. Because Virgo
it's a very defensive place.
It's yes,
very
it's very defensive.
Mars in Virgo for this long.
Highly defensive. Yeah. How have you been experiencing it, Mark?
I haven't come up with a plan for it yet. So.
You don't have a plan for it? Where is it going in your chart?
No.
What's your Virgo house?
Let me see. I never think about Virgo.
It's because you hang out with Heather and I.
Right.
We do the Virgo for you.
It's true. It's in the fourth house.
It's in the fourth house. Okay.
Well, I think that Virgo, that criticism is an important part of the process. How can we do healthy critique versus criticism?
Right.
And when we find ourselves getting defensive, we can kind of soften, take a deep breath, and look at why is that other person on the attack? And rather we're going
to
do that. So the number for Access Astrology, and what's our number?
Hang on, let me pull it up. I got the little computer here ready to roll. And the number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. And callers, when you call in, press 1 and raise your hand, and we'll see you on the thing and call you. The other thing we have this week is the end of the week. We have the sun going into Aquarius. So when that happens, lots of change. So I think
it's a very political aspect, the sun going into Aquarius.
Yeah, well, I think it is. I mean, I think it's, well, we've got the South Carolina people voting tomorrow, I believe. And then I think it's the Republican debate stuff should escalate. I mean, it's been a little Capricorn-y lately. Now it's going to go to Aquarius, which is much more, Aquarius in the lower form is kind of bombastic news blasting, you know, so to me it just, I'm not looking forward to it. I never look forward to it in an election year. Aquarius is so much the bigger groups, you know, finding the group that you're affiliated with, finding the belief system that you share. So when the sun goes into Aquarius, we all kind of focus a little more on what that vision is. Yeah. How do you see it?
How our context is.
Well, yes, our context, our framework.
Our framework, yeah. Our social context.
Yeah. And also, a lot of times, it's about defining the argument. I find with Aquarius, it's you want to, the whole point is they frame the argument, you know. So the whole idea with when the sun's in Aquarius is paint the picture you want to paint, and then everybody works within that picture, as opposed to letting the other guy frame it. Because they'll go, well, you go, no, my frame is this, and you impose the external frame, and then people work within that frame. So Aquarius is brilliant at holding that frame, and having that be part of that dynamic. Mark,
yeah,
how do you see?
That's the fixed part of Aquarius.
Yeah.
We always think of it as being, you know, the rebel and everything different and, you know, intuitive and all that. But in fact, there has to be a fixed quality, and that's where it is. So it has a different frame from what you'd expect, but it is a frame, and it has a structure.
Yeah. And they can be pretty bossy, too. I mean, I'm an Aquarius rising.
Yeah.
I know in my bad days I can be a little bossy. I don't like to think that about myself, but I have been called bossy before. And when Tina Fey came out with her book Bossy Pants, I thought, yep, I can recognize another bossy girl when I see one, you know.
See, the thing is that you're bossy, but you know that you're bossy about the right things.
Yeah, well, you think you're bossy about the right things. But the person you're bossing around can be very rebellious.
Of course.
I'll give you my younger sister's telephone number.
Right. She has to have something to rebel against.
Right, Right, that's true. Yeah. Heather, how do you see Aquarius?
Well, I know it's, I think the gift of Aquarius is the ability to kind of abstract ourselves and to see the bigger kind of symbolic picture, to move from the practical, ordinary, everyday life and our and the truth of our experience and look at our philosophies, our political philosophies, our spiritual philosophies, our pragmatic philosophies, and say, am I living by my philosophies or what needs to change? The danger of it is having a philosophy and trying to cram our experience into that and getting disconnected from the authenticity of our experience. And so, you know, also the Aquarius is the ability to notice what, I think of it as a fixed air. And for me, the fixed air is like people sitting around a table in a room having a meeting. And they're holding still and they're sharing space in the room together, but it's not, it's not like fresh wind blowing in from the mountainside. So that's the beauty of the contained work of the of our energy working together. And so when things go into Aquarius, we get it's more meetings and co-ops and politics and family meetings, as well as looking at our politicians doing what they're doing. And are we living up to our philosophies? If not, is it our philosophy that needs to change because it, we're not being honest with it? Or is it our actions? You know, I just someone just posted an article about a young girl in Cranston, Rhode Island, which who I know, that not the girl but the town, where she fought in her high school to have them take down a Christian prayer in the dinner in the dining hall, and or put a banner over it so that, you know, it wasn't necessarily sitting in the middle of their, that she said, freedom of religion, this shouldn't be in my public school. And the judge heard her and agreed with her. But meanwhile, in the anti-Christian, some of the backlash, people have been, I hope she rots in hell and Satan rapes her, and outrageous hate in the name of being Christian. I'm going, their philosophy is not very Christian. How do you have, there's so many places we can see that we're, y'all have places where we're not living up to our philosophies. And but this, you know, the particular filth that's being poured at her was a good example of how the philosophies and the actions aren't matching. So, and we can look at that. You know, I expect to see that in the political talk, and I expect to see this in the personal reviews. A good example of Aquarius energy, I think, of is Valentine's Day, the Aquarian holiday, along with President's Day. We celebrate, you know, the theory of presidents. We've got two good presidents that set an example, very different types, but bring up the whole concept of the body politic of the country. And Valentine's Day, which isn't particularly a romantic holiday, and we'll talk more about it when we get closer, but it's the theory of love. It's like the idea of Valentine's rather than the actuality of Valentine's. So those are just things that I am seeing as part of this.
Bigger picture. Cool.
Yeah.
And our calling number, for those of you who'd like to call with a question, 347-215-8881. There is a caller, 415-290, but you don't have your hand raised. So I'm not going to call on you, but if you want us to answer your question, press 1. Then your little yellow question mark went on there. Thank you, 415. 415 just raised their hand. Hi, 415. Well, let's see if we can.
Hi, guys. This is Lila calling.
Hi, Lila. How are you?
Hi, Lila. How are you?
I am okay. I had a baby boy a couple weeks ago, and I was hoping you guys could look at. Thanks. I was hoping you could look at his chart.
Okay.
He was born January 4th, 2012, obviously, at 9:04 p.m. in Emeryville, Emeryville, California.
Okay. 9:04.
That might come up as Oakland. What's that?
What was the first name, Lila?
He doesn't. He's not named yet. Baby.
We'll just call him he on the.
Okay.
Baby. And that's lovely. Congratulations. How long was you? How are you feeling?
It was a pretty intense birth. It took quite a number of days, but I was able to have a healthy home birth, and I'm doing okay. I'm having definitely some issues now, just with not necessarily sleep, but kind of postpartum, a little depression, and just things have been pretty intense. So, but I'm doing
all
right.
Take very good care of yourself, hon. As you know,
yeah.
You've been through some major emotional transits, and
right,
you know, by the end of next week, you might find that you're feeling a lot more level.
Mm, all right.
This baby is strong as an ox.
yeah, I figured that after the 40-hour labor.
Yeah, I had a first labor like that, honey. I'm so sorry. It's a moon in Taurus at the top of the chart. Moon, Mars in Virgo, Virgo rising, Capricorn sun. You can see that it with his sun is pulling away from a conjunction to Pluto. He's felt what you've been going through, but it looks like he came in from other lifetimes where he had also been through a lot and came into a family, you recovering from some hard times, and that the two of you could go forward together with the hard times in the past as his son progresses, moving farther and farther away from Pluto as the years go by.
Uh-huh.
He's very idealistic, very sensitive.
Gonna love his mama.
Gonna love his mama.
That's really great.
Moon in Taurus.
And he looks like he's got Mercury in Sagittarius, so he's pretty positive and intelligent and able to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
He also has a finger of God in his chart, so that may be why he was taking so long to come in, because he was waiting for that to happen. So a lot of times when they have a finger of God, it is tied to a bigger fate that they're supposed to work on and go through. And Saturn is the apex of the finger of God, and the moon and the Uranus series are part of it. So you're part of the finger of God for him, so that you've got a very strong connect with this little guy. And then also when we look at the part, some people don't count the part of fortune as being a finger of God, but he also has Mars and Juno to the part of fortune. But definitely he's got a strong chart. So I would say you got a little wild guy there. It should be good. And then you have a second finger of God that goes from Mercury, Saturn to the moon. So you guys have a real strong karma connection here. Like there's a big fate with the two of you together. So he's going to bring you, I think, a lot of joy.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful
and
reading.
And he's strong enough that you don't have to worry about, you don't feel guilty about the unusual circumstances or the difficult situations. What he's going to feel the steadiness of you. And the steadiness is not in the conditions that you're providing. It's the kind of feeling that you're going to make it, even if you're not sure how, that he picks up from you. And that he just needs, you know, anything, regular routine, which may not be your forte, but will help him and help you of just, you know, this is when we eat, and you don't have to be fanatical about it, don't be inflexible, but the routines of his life, this is when we go to bed, even if you're not sleepy, this is when we get up, you know, the creature comforts, being cuddly. But some basic routines of his life will help him relax and trust and be comfortable.
Okay.
He also needs time to play with his food, okay? So when you get to the part where you're feeding him, you know, give him extra food time, meaning he's going to have, like, little food things he does, which are very much part of who he is. So kind of let him work out the food thing.
Okay.
You know, he'll have, you know, because he's got a lot of earth energy and, like, digging holes in the backyard. And he's got a whole physical thing that he wants to work out in this lifetime.
Right.
So,
okay,
you know, whole,
that.
I mean, long birth for one, you know, and two, you know, when he gets playing with food and he starts, you know, making art projects with it, that's totally what he's supposed to do. Okay. Or, you know, like he only likes his sandwich with the crust cut off because you just go, okay, there's that food thing, you know.
Right, okay.
I mean, in a good way, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You
all right, you guys.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, any name, you know, I think he'll resonate with earthy-sounding names. Names that aren't, you know, not too fancy or too frippery, but something kind of simple and solid and earthy toned.
Okay.
Probably.
What's his nickname?
Well, his nickname when he was in utero was Feather, which is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have been thinking for a middle name of the name Gray.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a possible middle name, like a gray dolphin or a gray. There's a bunch of different reasons. But, yeah, the first name hasn't really appeared.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, I really
appreciate he's not
it.
A feather, though. He's a tank.
I know. That's why it's so funny.
And I'm just kind of because we've done your chart before and have it on file. You've got Pluto going back in that place, back and forth, in that square in your chart for now. And you're going to feel like a different person once that Pluto square your Mercury is passed.
And when is that?
That takes a while. It looks like a year from now. And again, it touches it again in the fall of 2013. So by winter of 2013, spring of 2014, you're on the other side of some lumpy places in your life. And he's pretty durable and can bounce between now and then. So it's your chart that needs the extra care. And he'll just come along with you in the process.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Good luck with it. Feel better.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Okay. And we have another one. Whoops. Hi, 205. How are you? Any questions for us?
Hi. This is Rhonda, your New Orleans client calling in.
Okay. Cool.
I know you're running out of time here, but I just wanted to see if you saw anything interesting going on this week. I'm sort of expecting this to be a challenging week for me.
Okay. What's your birth stuff?
What's your birth information for the rest of us?
It's July 27th, 1957, and I was born in Prescott, Arkansas.
And
at what time?
At 10:27 p.m. There's a lot of really interesting things going on work-wise, and from what I'm hearing, I'm expecting this to be a challenging week.
Okay. Yep, should be challenging. You got Mars stopping in the workplace house. 10:27 p.m. And you've also got a lot of Neptune opposite the Pluto. So there's some kind of dissolving going on with the work groups or changing the employees behind the scenes. And
yeah.
It also trines your Neptune in the 7th. So it's setting off your finger of God. So whatever it is, it's fated in the sense of forward motion you go. And, you know, I would just say, you know, trust the process that whatever's taken off is what's supposed to leave. If you're leaving, that's good if they're just firing people around you. But you got Pluto coming to your midheaven, so that one often shows up as kind of a change in career direction or change in work.
Yeah, and her progressed sun conjuncts Mars, but her progressed moon, it looks like there was some changes 2 months ago that this is sort of a follow-up on as your progressed moon conjunct Uranus.
Yes,
and
I have
so,
I'm reporting to a new person now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I would stay on target and pay attention to what they need. Make this time not about you, but about what the new person needs in their new position.
Mm-hmm.
And keep an eye on it there because there's a lot of changes going on around you.
Yeah.
We have to go now. We have to say goodbye.
Until good luck with it, Rhonda.
Good luck on that, Rhonda.
Thank you.
And goodbye from all of us here. We all do personal readings if you need. This is Heather from in Minnesota. And say goodbye, Mark. Mark?
Mark Wolfe in New York.
And Ann Ortley in New York. Bright red desk. Now I have two cats on the desk, one on either end.
Okay.
Have a great week, people.
Okay.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye now.